I rotate through a few guiding principles. One of them is better out than in. Another, do it scared. Currently, I'm working with there are no rules. My favorite part of New York is that you can cry in public and no one will even look at you. It's like being invisible, and it's a relief. As I wrote this sermon, I read an academic paper called The Tears of God in the Book of Jeremiah by David A. Bosworth, which begins with the premise that weeping is meant to be seen, meant to elicit a sympathetic response in others. Growing up and into my early 20s, I was told, Naomi, there are things to cry about. This meant that whatever I was currently crying about was not something to cry about. But that never really stopped me. I know people who can't or won't cry, who are embarrassed or see it as weak and would definitely not weep through a 6-hour flight, nose running and everything, because she drowned her computer in her backpack. I cry just as I write. It is my way of experiencing the world. And I can barely go a day or two without crying. It's like I'm full of leaky pipes. I disagree with Bosworth that weeping is for others. This week was so emotionally intense, I wept alone in my room for the gloom and for my bruised feet, because in this darkness, I can't see where I'm going. My freshman year of college, I wrote an essay about Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden and the fall from it. I called the essay, not why the snake lost its legs, but how. The crux of the argument was that the chapter is descriptive of a truth. This is a world gone wrong. The world God wanted was in the garden. The why is basically irrelevant. It is how it is. In Jeremiah, the world is also a world gone wrong. What is to be done? You might feel resonance today. Is this the world God wants? Is it? After the death of King Solomon, Israel split into the northern kingdom of Israel and southern kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah speaks from the kingdom of Judah, currently ruled by King Josiah. The northern kingdom had been conquered 100 years earlier by the Assyrians in 722 BCE. The people sent into exile. The same fate awaited the people of Judah. Jeremiah was tasked with spreading the news. Beginning around 622 BCE, King Josiah implemented several religious reforms. Scholars believe that the book of Deuteronomy was composed about this time to provide textual warrant for these reforms. Specifically, Deuteronomy says God must be worshipped in the place that I will choose, which was Jerusalem. Worship in rural shrines became legally paganism. King Josiah's reforms emphasized God's punishment of the people of Israel and Judah for worshiping other gods. The punishment is carried out by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, respectively, but is, of course, like everything in the ancient world, attributed to God. But it makes God weep. Later in Christian theology, God will be unable to suffer or be affected in a way that causes him to suffer. But in the ancient world, it is common for gods and goddesses to cry. Just as it is common for them to have moods, whims, desires, moments of rage, and human features. Why is the book of Jeremiah and the whole Hebrew Bible actually so concerned with people worshiping other gods? If we use the concept of mirror reading, the more laws there are against something, the more likely it is that people are doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. Everyone in ancient Israel and Judah were worshiping pagan gods. Another paper I wrote in college was called Why Believe in God When Bad Things Happen? It was a personal essay for my writing class where I wrestled with the Deuteronomic code that says basically, good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. To be good is to follow the law. Not only that, and forgive the patriarchal language here, but I couldn't get behind the son being punished for the sins of the father for generations. I wrote myself into knots trying to figure out why bad things happen to good people. What did I come up with? Why believe in God when bad things happen? Not why, but how. Maybe this is heresy to say, but if King Josiah can have the book of Deuteronomy written to align with his reforms, I too can make up my own rules or lack thereof for the covenant I made with God. Because I can't believe the world is the way it is because God is mad at us, at me. Except, what if it is? Like I said, better out than in, I will tell you. At the intersection of my mental illness and my main character energy sits a horrible fear. And I've laughed a sec. What if all the death and suffering is my fault? What if the people dying in Palestine and in Sudan and right around here in my neighborhood is because my own heart is hardened? I can't pray so the ice caps melt. I'm angry with God for how I've suffered. I worship the screen, beauty, youth, perfection, my own image, the idol I've become. God weeps. This isn't what I've wanted. This is a world gone wrong. Another guiding principle I'm working with, and I ask you all to take it up and espouse it with me. A better world is possible. This may not seem like Jeremiah's message with all the punishment and destruction and gloom, but it is. Jeremiah is asking Judah to give glory to the Lord your God before the one who brings dark down and before your feet are bruised on the twilight mountains. Before, it is not too late to give glory to the Lord, though it will be soon. The Babylonians conquered Judah in 586 BCE. It is here in exile that the Jews redact the Bible. Deuteronomy fresh in their memories carries heavy weight. I am here to say that maybe it shouldn't. Worship God in your home shrines. Worship God wherever. The covenant, in my opinion, says no other gods before me. It's the end of the world, but a better world is possible, I promise. Who else but God could cause such destruction? What is coming? Something new. I'm scared, but I put one foot in front of the other anyway, because who else but God could craft such splendor, create such marvels?